Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Hal.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. Morning, Hamish.
It's a bit wild, isn't it?
So, Hooli again, aye.
Bit windy.
Aye.
hope everyone's well. It is April the 7th, and this is from Opening Doors Within. Only as you expand your consciousness are you open and receptive to the new all around you, and can become attuned to new thoughts, new ideas and new ways of life. Be prepared to see beyond the immediate, into higher dimensions, higher realms, and be open to the ways of the spirit. There is so much you can understand and accept intuitively, but at which the mind boggles. So why waste time trying to work everything out with the mind? Why not be willing to live and act intuitively and inspirationally? When you do, you are functioning from a raised state of consciousness and are receptive to the new. You become a clear channel for the new to unfold in and through you. So raise your consciousness from the negative to the positive, from the destructive to the constructive, from the darkness to the light, and from the old into the new. And see what happens. You will find the old will fall away, revealing the glorious new.
Mm.
It says, that our thoughts line will be placed on a much higher plane, doesn't it? When we connect with a power that's greater than us.
Mm.
And I think, it's that occasional hunch. It's on awakening, isn't it, that reading? We might not be inspired at all times when we start, but we'll find, that sometimes when we're just still and in the silence, we'll intuitively know what to do. We'll intuitively know how to handle things which used to baffle us.
Mm.
And, that's all about, connecting to the ways of the spirit. When we're moving away from ego consciousness towards God consciousness. I like what you said last night about, doing God's work and not his job. When you intuitively go to help someone where sometimes we wouldn't have without recovery. I sometimes, I'm acting.
So the ways of the spirit is having that sense of wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, what can you do to be of help, of service, rather than what can I get out of this, what's in it for me, the way of the self.
So the materialistic approach that I used to do was very much more me, what can I... How do I improve my life?
Mm.
Whereas the spiritual ideas is how do we help others?
Mm.
It's a massive shift, that way of thinking, isn't it?
It's so ironic, that the call, wines and spirits.
Yeah.
The ways of the spirits, like vodka. Vodka and or God.
There was such a brilliant share last night when she talked about the voice, the addictive voice in her head. Go on,
this one,
you'll be all right to just do it once on a Saturday and then we'll do it no more. You just need a bit of relief, go on. And that was the alcoholic spirit speaking to her, wafting in, come on, you need a drink. That was the bad, that was the darkness where it says...
An evil spirit. Mm.
And now... That shows she acted against a compulsion that she couldn't control. And now I get a compulsion to act against my intuitive thought, and it's beyond my will. I find myself helping people when I'm actually thinking, my that evil bit of me is thinking, I just want to rest today. But this other spirit's taken over and saying, you're going to go and help this person. You put your hands up when someone asked to sponsor, and I didn't want to.
Mm.
It's like I've got a good spirit working through me. So I've taken one compulsion for another.
Mm.
But this is a good one, and I don't mind, because I don't know what's best for me. Because if I help someone else through the steps, it's reminding me of where I don't want to go back to.
Mm.
And it helps me, it makes me feel better. And I love the people that I work with, so I'm really lucky.
Yeah, well, there's that little list Dr. Bob did, didn't there? You know, the insurance against the slip, you know, because it's his duty, because he enjoys it, and because it's paying off a debt to the person who helped him.
So if we're not doing God's work, we're not doing service, are we more likely to have a slip?
Oh, yeah. I think it's...
We're without the defence against the first drink.
You've got no higher power at that point.
Mm.
Why should the higher power help you if you're not helping the higher power?
By helping other people get sober.
Yeah, by being of service, you know, in a spiritual way, you know. And I don't think it has to necessarily be... you know, being a sponsor.
There's
all sorts of ways you can be of service to alcoholics and addicts, or your family, you know, or
neighbours,
people who are in trouble, you know. It's like, that's just, you know, be of help, you know, in the wider sense of the word and world.
I was just thinking of that chapter, working with others, you know, nothing will ensure
immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics.
Mm.
Indeed. I mean, it was interesting, you know, our friend with the big hair, his it was shared in CA, you know, it made this very simple point that he's got a sponsee, so he can't take a drink, because they'd be letting the sponsee down. And I thought, well, you know, there's another defence, you know, and it's quite a good one, actually. You know, and that's the point, isn't it? You know, nothing ensures immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. So get yourself some sponsees, because they're going to protect you. That's,
But when you look at this list, it's quite interesting, isn't it? So, raise your consciousness from negative to positive. We can change our thoughts, can't we?
Mm.
If you wake up in a slump, and you feel, ugh, you can actually restart your day, can't you? You can think, right, I've got to get more positive here. And we have control over our mind and our thoughts, don't we?
Your mind can go in different directions on anything. You know, like, I can look at an apple and go, oh, I don't really feel like an apple, I would rather have a biscuit, you know. And or you can look at it and go, oh, brilliant, an apple, you know, I'm quite thirsty and these are really juicy and, you know, amazing. It's kind of like, you know, where are you, what's your situation, your mind just twists on you, and I'm like, ungrateful for the apple.
From the destructive to the constructive.
Mm.
That's our behaviour, wasn't it? It was destructive. You know, my behaviour was...
Mm.
It hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm constructive
mm-hmm.
in my day, because I'm helping others and I'm doing service. Darkness to light. Definitely. I was in the dark. Felt alone. No way out. End of the tunnel.
Yeah.
No light at the end of it. But now...
Yeah.
You bring the light in.
It's interesting, isn't it, how drinking is conducive to darkness, you know, nighttime.
Yeah.
It's a nighttime thing, isn't it? You know, and it's like, you know, in the long winter nights, you know, it's great because it stayed dark longer. Then in the summer, you know, when it starts getting daylight at like 5 o'clock in the morning, it's like, oh God, the birds are singing, you know, I'm still drinking.
And then she says, when you do, you're functioning from a raised state of consciousness and are receptive. You become a clear channel.
Mm.
And I like that, you know, that we can, you know, we receive intuitive thoughts. We sort of act on we act intuitively, don't we, much more now?
Mm.
You know, we know when someone's struggling, or, you know, it's like I know when some of my friends are not right. I just give them a quick message.
Mm.
You know, we know when the phone rings who it's going to be. You know, we're and we don't need to understand the where's and how's and why's of that.
Mm.
We just need to tap into that inner resource and trust that, you know, third eye that we can see without seeing, we can hear without hearing. You know, there's mysterious forces that we don't understand.
Mm.
And I love it. Mm. I just love that. I was closed off from that, from that ways of the spirit.
Mm.
You know, it's, I think there's, you know, when we can get to those dimensions in meditation, in breath work, and it's mysterious and it's magical, you know, what we can get the messages in, you know, and to go to bed with a problem and ask a higher power for the solution and you get the answer in the morning. You know, I think that everyone's intuitive, they're just not sure of it. You just have to practice. And look out for God instances.
Yes.
Coincidences, God instances. You know, synchronicity is a massive message from above, I believe.
Series of synchronicities. Yeah, it was interesting. It was, you know, we were in that meeting last night and, you know, there was like 25 people there to hear this amazing share, and it was very inspirational and uplifting and powerful and memorable and kind of life-changing, probably, for some people, you know, and certainly when they stay with me. And you know, that, and you work it backwards, and you know, a friend who started that meeting, you know, came to his first meeting and I was doing the share and I mentioned India, and that was enough for him to come to another meeting, and I never go to that meeting, and it was like very unusual for me to do a share there. So the kind of crossing of our paths was extremely unlikely, and then leads to this series of events, you know. And
we wouldn't have heard that share without
him. Powerful as fuck, you
know. Would we? We wouldn't have heard that share because he started the meeting. We
wouldn't have, you know. So there's all these lives are influenced by chance events, and it's like, well, that chance event, with hindsight, was providence, you know. It was God, it was a synchronicity, whatever you want to call it, you know. It's like, it was kind of significant. And it's kind of like, well, there's some evidence that we're on the right path. I like that sort of stuff, you know, because it's like, on the right path, you know. And when you get asked to share at a meeting, you know, it's like, you better say yes, because, you know, what's going to be missed if you don't? You don't know. So it's that kind of surrender experiment thing, isn't it? You know, it's just like, for some reason, somebody asks you to do a share at a meeting, then you better do it, unless there's you know, you're unable to, you know, for a good reason. Blah de blah. As Bill sees it, number 255, wider understanding. To reach more alcoholics, understanding of AA and public good will towards. To reach more alcoholics, understanding of AA and public goodwill towards AA must go on growing everywhere. We need to be on still better terms with medicine, religion, employers, governments, courts, prisons, mental hospitals, and all enterprises in the alcoholism field. We need the increasing goodwill of editors, writers, television and radio channels. These publicity outlets need to be opened ever wider. That's from the AA Service Handbook for Great Britain, section 18-39. And then from the Grapevine, November 1960. Nothing matters more to AA's future welfare than the manner in which we use the colossus of modern communication. Used unselfishly and well, it can produce results surpassing our present imagination. Should we handle this great instrument badly, We shall be shattered by the ego manifestations of our own people. Against this peril, AA members' anonymity before the general public is our shield and our buckler. Not sure what a buckler is, but I get the point.
It is important, isn't it, you know, to have good relationships with, you know, like you went into the prison, like, you know, the treatment centre come to, you know, meetings, you know, the people on the wards can see an alcohol liaison nurse and they can, you know, say, do you would like a 12-step call? You know, they're all really good avenues, aren't they, of, you know, how we can help.
I mean, there's a few good programmes, isn't there? You know, Loudermilk's good and The Dry is good, you know, as regards, you know, giving a fair...
Flaked.
...representation. Flaked is a bit... It didn't go into the meetings, flaked.
No, no.
You know, it didn't show a meeting, it was just kind of dysfunctional alcoholics outside the meeting. But it's, even still, it's...
Yeah, it gives it gives people the idea that you can abstain.
It's a bit of a struggle, but you can.
There is a different way of living. It's important, isn't it, to let, you know, carry the message.
Yes, but it's, you know, this, we struggle with this attraction, it's, not promotion.
Yes.
Idea, you know, and people use that to say that we shouldn't promote AA, or CA, you know, and you know, things like adverts and stuff like that, and that's, you know, it's quite confusing, isn't it? That
I mean, tradition. We can do posters, can't we? You know, trouble with drinking, you know, and put them up in hospitals, and you know.
Well, it says here these publicity outlets need to be opened ever wider.
Yeah.
So it's quite clear about it, you know, that we should seek publicity. So, you know, attraction, not promotion, I think is at the level of individuals, you know, yes, where it's like, you know, you attract someone into the fellowship by your recovery, you know, and they want what you've got. But we're up okay, you know, in terms of advertising. You know, that's not against the tradition.
Yes.
I think it's traditional living, I think. Sure.
I think it's you know, it is getting there, you know, to have that programme on the BBC, to be actually in a meeting with you know, what was it, CGI?
Yeah, they use deep fake technology to alter people's appearance.
And that was, I think that was an insight, because so many people have this view of everyone sitting around very depressed in a dark room with a facilitator that
forces you to speak.
And that's
haven't heard from you in a while. What have you got to say for yourself?
I don't really
want to see anything.
And that would put a lot of people off.
Don't want to be here.
Yeah. So, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
I do the, you know, the Friday morning shift for the helpline, and I ain't getting any calls. You know, I've been doing it for a few months, and I think I've spoken to one alcoholic. A couple of people have rang up saying, is there a meeting on?
It was interesting last night that someone had put a poster up in the loos, you know, and that was, you know, that was good. You know, we used to put things in, didn't you go around and put things in pubs and stuff?
We just did that off our own bat, you know, the stickers and toilets.
But hopefully...
I was thinking of doing it again. I was thinking actually of putting an advert in the Echo, just... pay for it myself.
I think now, with more people, you know, Google search and, you know, engines, that at least they can find us a bit more, you know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got a phone, haven't they?
Yeah.
So the, you know, the classified ads aren't what they used to be.
Thanks, Al.
Yes, that'll
do,
is
it? Have a great day and raise that consciousness and
yes.
Act intuitively for the good.
Have a great day in the way of the spirit.
In the realms
it's like
of the spirit.
The way of the spirit. It's a bit Indian, isn't it? Like, you know, sort of American Indians. The ways of the spirit.
Thanks, Al.
Sam.
Morning, Al.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. And good morning, Hamish. Morning, Hamish. Morning, birds. Morning, people.
It is April the 8th. And this is from... Oh, it's eclipse night.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the big one. It's something like the planets are aligned and they haven't done that for about 300 and something years, and it's very unique. They'll see it in America, I think.
Yeah, that's Morn and Mike have gone to America.
Sorry?
Morn and Mike have gone to America
to
for
see
the
it.
Eclipse, yeah.
Wow. Which country? Which
Texas.
Texas. Oh, I hope they have
Texas.
A good
the
view
cowboys.
Of it. So, from Opening Doors Within, hope everyone's well. Lean not on anyone. You need no outer props or reassurances, for you have all deep within you. It is inner peace that everyone longs for, and it is there when you take time to look for it. Do you take time to see the truth, or do you accept everything you hear, see, and read at face value? When you know something from within, nothing or no one from without can shake it. It is something that is so real to you, it wouldn't matter if the whole world went against you, telling you that you were wrong. You would be able to go quietly along your way without being disturbed or thrown off balance. That is the joy and strength of inner knowing. It is what you can give. It is what can give you the peace which passes all understanding. So whenever you are in any doubt about anything, go within and seek the truth. I will reveal it to you, and then go your way in peace and confidence. What an amazing resource to have.
Mm.
You know, I heard it yesterday in a meeting. You know, someone that... was really struggling and was very irritable, restless, discontent, and she actually had to sit there and work out what was wrong with her, because, you know, perhaps her sponsor was busy or hadn't been able to speak to her, and she worked it out. Sitting in that silence, working out her restless irritability and her discontentedness meant that she could make peace with it. She suddenly got a realisation. Ah, okay. I'm not dealing with grief very well. Okay. And that's triggered something else from my past.
Mm.
Right, okay. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? That's why she was pointing the finger at everyone else and there was three pointing back at her that she hadn't even realised. You know, that she was picking on, you know, it's easy to find fault in others when you're feeling restless, irritable and discontent, isn't it? But she really sat there and she worked it out. You know, and grief can come in many forms. It can be fear, anxiety, and she just worked it out. And that's what you can do. You know, tap into that inner resource.
Mm.
You can, you know, ask the questions, you know, before you go to sleep. Why am I feeling like this? Do a mini step four, exactly what she said. She did all the right things. And I think that's a really good lesson, because that means that you're not always searching for external people to fix you. You know, you're actually confident in your own abilities of working a program. And that gives you great peace to know that anytime, anywhere, even if it's in the middle of the night and you don't want to disturb someone, you can find out and sit, be able to sit with those uncomfortable feelings and know, identify them and know that they will pass.
Mm.
And if they don't, then you phone, you know. I think it's a really good tool to go within. And I love that. Even if the whole world are against you, but you have that inner knowing that you're doing the right thing, that's amazingly confident, isn't it? That, you know, imagine if everyone else said in the world, well, actually, alcohol's really good for you. You should be drinking it as a health benefit. I would know that's wrong. I would have that deep inner knowing for me.
Mm.
No, not that it ever would, but do you know what I mean? That's just a silly example. But when you've got that deep inner knowing of, I think I had it with early recovery when I knew I had to let some friends go.
Mm.
I knew that it wasn't the right thing, and I could see them. They were just drinking buddies and they were serving me no good at all. And that deep inner knowing, it was horrible. It was like a breakup, you know. We shared a lot of things together, and you know, I was grateful for her time when I was in the madness, but I just absolutely knew that that friendship could go no further.
Mm.
And the more I examined it, it was very one-sided and to her advantage to be a friend of mine.
Mm.
Not the other way around.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's a good practice, isn't it, to sit and find the answers within. It says it in the spiritual experience in Appendix 2.
Mm.
You know, tap into that inner resource.
Mm. Mm. Very good.
Anything to add?
Well, just I don't know. It's difficult when people are behaving in ways that affect you, you know, and it's not a good, not in a good way, you know. Then, you know, if you feel like you're being taken advantage of, or you know, not treated very well, then it's hard not to react to that, and you know, your inner peace is
shattered.
It's not there, you know. Yeah. And I mean, that's got up early this morning because I started worrying about stuff at work.
Did you?
Mm. Mm. And I thought, well, I might as well just get on with the day.
Mm.
On the basis that I'm unlikely to go back to sleep now, because now that I start fretting about things. And, you know, that's the reality of the world we live in, isn't it? You know, that there's, we've all got worries. And it's like, well, you know, hand it all over. But then it's like, well, actually, I have to do something about it sometimes, you know.
You take action, yeah.
I can't just sit here and let God deal with it all, right. You know. God's going to expect me to take some responsibility. And therefore, you know, if there's something bothering you, you have to pay attention to it, you know, and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Do something about it.
Well, we used to
courage to change things you can, you know, and yeah, it's not always easy.
We used to hide from things like that, though, you know, as alcoholics. You know, if there's something worrying us, we'd take a drink on it, and we'd push it down and down until it actually got into an unsolvable problem.
Mm.
But now you can, you know, you can do something about it. You can face everything and recover.
Mm.
Instead of F everything and run, you know, escape. And That's what we learn, isn't it, when we come in?
Mm.
We have to take action on certain things and not bury them anymore.
Mm.
And also, I think it's really good to get up. You know, there's nothing worse than being in your own head, having it go round and round. It's better to get up, isn't it,
mm.
and do something.
Mm.
So that's good. What's Bill got?
Matching on.
Isn't it funny, you know, that one person's problem is another one's luxury? Like, there'd be people out there thinking, oh, I wish I had a job to worry about.
Mm.
You know, it's always...
Indeed.
It's always good to, you know, and then you get up and you do gratitudes and put yourself in a different frame of mind to think, oh, yeah, I'm actually... I'll face this new challenge with appreciation of my gratitude for my job, that I provide service for the other people that are working there, and you know, it suddenly doesn't seem quite as horrific as first thought, you know, if you tackle
no,
it.
No, it's
way.
Not horrific at all, you know, it's just like there's always something to worry about in life, isn't there? You know, I mean, it's like whether it's, you know, sick relative or problems at work or...
Someone you know. Said that in the meeting yesterday, you know, that, you know, she was consumed by this one problem in her life. And she said at the end of that, there'd probably be another one to take over as soon as that one's finished.
Mm.
There's always something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's... The nature of the mind is natural to worry. But if you...
Yeah, you're just looking for a better class of problem, really.
Yeah. So...
Always, you know, try to move up.
I think, you know, the antidote sometimes, I know you have to take action today, but, you know, if it's the past, it's depression of the past. If it's fear of the future, it's anxiety. But if you're keeping it today, what have you got to do today?
Mm.
Then you can be present and it, you know, you can not be in so much fear.
This is 256 from As Bill Sees It, from The Grapevine, July 1962. When this book came out? 1967. First print in 1967. Crikey. So I was... Four.
I was one.
A special experience, question mark. I was the recipient of a tremendous mystic experience or illumination, and at first it was very natural for me to feel that this experience staked me out as somebody very special. But as I now look back upon this tremendous event, I can only feel very grateful. It now seems clear that the only special features of my experience were its suddenness and the overwhelming and immediate conviction that it carried. In all other respects, however, I am sure that my own experience was essentially like that received by any AA member who has strenuously practiced our recovery programme. Surely, the grace he receives is also of God. The only difference is that he became aware of his gift more gradually.
Mm.
Mm. Strenuously practiced our recovery program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I've been doing this for 6 years, 8 months. Quite strenuously, really, I suppose.
Strenuously,
yeah. Diligently.
Strenuously.
Consistently.
A strain.
Strenuously. Means that you're
strenuous.
You're trying really hard.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's it is a strain. If you feel the strain, you know, it's like you're putting the effort in. It requires an effort.
Mm. So he's talking about an experience or an awakening, you know.
Yeah, he had this sort of blinding white light, didn't he?
Mm.
But, you know, he was taking belladonna at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of trippy stuff.
But it works for him. You know, it was that illumination,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, it was real.
And you know, in all other respects, I'm sure that my own experience was essentially like that received by any.
Mm.
Yeah. So what he's saying, it's, you know, it's, it can be both, can't it? It can be a sudden spiritual experience, mm. or it can be an awakening. I think mm. I had both, because I'm a greedy alcoholic.
Mm.
You know, I had that sudden realization lying on the floor. Mm. Really, it was profound. And I don't mm. know why. And I really believed that there was someone looking after me, because I was close to going out. You know, I wasn't living properly at all.
Mm.
And I suddenly was given that gift of desperation. It was like, oh my God, I've had enough. I did my 1, 2, and 3 on the floor mm. when I was drunk.
Mm.
It was, but then I needed the awakening of realizing, you know, that I needed to do this, you know, program. I mm. needed to get rid of my resentments and my fears. And, you know, I had to learn how to trust the higher power that I didn't even know had been mm. responsible for my sudden, you know, surrender. You know, I didn't realise what was happening. And anyone can, you know, get, what was it? The, what's his name? Henry James, is it?
Mm.
What he describes. William James. As the...
educational experience.
Yeah. You know, when you're properly armed with the facts and you go through the book
mm.
and you suddenly get identification when you read certain chapters and they're pointed out when you're going through the steps, then you realise, okay. I mean, yours, you know, you've had a sudden realisation,
mm.
you know, quite recently, haven't you?
Well, I wouldn't say it was sudden. You know, it's taken 6 years, 8 months, but it's like...
no, but you, know, you suddenly realised.
You know, I think you're on this sort of... It's like stepping stones, you know, and one leads to another, and then suddenly you get across the river, you know, and you're standing on the other side, and it's like, oh, you know, it's different this side of the river. And... yeah, I mean, and the kind of journey is, you know, it was like I knew at the start who's doing well in this, you know, looking around, who are the people that seem happy? Who are the people who seem like they're no chance of drinking again? And they seem to be doing all the service. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was kind of like, let's do service then. Did a lot of service to start off with, you know, in the first few years, and then kind of got a bit jaded by it and a bit resentful and pulled back from it, and then come around to the realization that you know, it's essential, you know, it's part of the steps, you know, step 12. The principle underlying step 12 is service, and, you know, if I'm not doing service, then why should God give a fuck about me? You know, it's like not doing anything to justify that kind of power, you know, so it's like, get more service.
And you said yesterday it comes in many forms, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, family, neighbours, colleagues, the whole...
Your whole life should be a kind of, you know, you're just looking at for opportunities to apply the AA program, you know, the application of AA techniques. So it's, you know, it's within AA or CA, within your family, within your work, within your community, within the whole world. You know, it's within the field of consciousness, the idea of service being to make a positive impact, you know, to be constructive, not destructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very wide idea, you know, in terms of what actions are, you know, comprise service. It's not just getting a position within the organisation of, you know, 12-step fellowship, albeit that's somewhere you should be doing something. You know, if you're going to meetings and never, you don't do anything, you don't do any service anywhere at all, you just turn up to meetings.
You don't feel part of it then, do you?
Well,
you're a bit on the outside.
You're going to drink, you know, unless you're some sort of crazy dry drunk, you know, it's probably likely that you'll pick up a drink, you know, because you're going to get bored, you're going to get jaded, you're going to get resentful, like, you know, and just drift away. It's not a guarantee, but, you know, I'm looking for a guarantee of sobriety, and it's the service that, you know, and the, you know, working with other alcoholics is a big part of that. It doesn't, you don't have to be sponsoring alcoholics to be helping them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some, you know, some people are better suited to sponsorship than others, you know, but there's, we've all got our own capabilities, you know, and it's a matter of,
I know there's really good,
what kind of service suits,
you know,
me, you
PI
know,
and, you know, going to intergroup people, you know, they really enjoy that role and they're really good at it. So yeah, it's finding your niche, isn't it? And, you know, just doing
that something. Attitude, you know, it talks about in the first reading, you know, our attitude is our choice. You know, what do I have to do today? You know, and see it as a burden, or what do I have to do today to see it as a, you know, an opportunity, as a, you know, as a gift.
So you're going to work with a new vigour to try and, you know, an opportunity for you to...
I wouldn't go that far. I feel a bit of anxiety, you know, but it's just like, rather than hide, you know, and go in late, get in early, you know, and get on with it.
Well done.
That's the idea.
Good. Have a lovely day, everyone. Uh-huh. Happy Mondays.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.